Many uses of our ADUs include long-term rental, serving as a guest house for friends and family, multi-generational living, and occasionally the use of short-term rental services during vacancies to supplement the expense. These above reasons are all win-win propositions. ADUs create additional housing while creating an easily achievable investment with a return for the homeowner. We believe that extending the SDC waiver for ADUs will continue the win-win proposition for homeowners and renters. The City of Portland has been revolutionary in its support for ADUs, and without its continued support, the unique opportunity of investment and increased housing will falter. Squarefoot Studios would also like to applaud the City Council for upholding its goal to increase density rather than relying on sprawl. Our city planners must also be applauded for their continuing efforts to maintain the urban growth boundary. Finally, we would like to acknowledge that this resolution is in response to a nuanced issue that requires continuous, thoughtful solutions. Squarefoot Studios supports continued study and regular review of the issues affecting housing in Portland. As citizens of Portland ourselves, we would encourage the City Council and the affected bureaus to find alternate streams of revenue to fill the gap of the SDC waiver for ADUs. With increased density comes increased wear and tear on our infrastructure, which is already in a state of disrepair. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Willie Dean. I own Ground Up Design Works. It's a residential design business, and we provide permitting services to homeowners throughout Portland and have been doing so for 5 years. In the past 5 years, we've helped plan around 20 ADUs. And I think that, let's see, I'm just going to read from this because I'm kind of babbling here. The waiver has been a significant incentive to many of the projects that we work on. Most of my projects wouldn't have been able to get off the ground without the waiver being in place, and I just see it as a humongous benefit to the housing and rental market. The SDC waiver is an extremely successful way to incentivize new, compact, affordable infill housing built throughout the city. We're in the midst of a housing crisis in general, an affordable housing crisis in particular. Why take away a successful strategy in the midst of a crisis? The strategy has been great for the community and has put Portland on the forefront of this housing development type in the country. I mean, it's really a feather in the hat of Portland that we have this ADU development model, and people look to us to see what we're doing and find ways to promote ADU development in their communities. And I think that this specific issue has been probably the largest driver in that. So I'm just here to support the extension of the waiver, and I just think it's a really great thing, and it's been good for the housing market. If the waiver expires, we would continue to see ADUs being built, but not at the current rate. One of the last speakers said that, you know, we're at 500 right now, and if we continue forward, we can expect that number to grow, and if the waiver expires, I think we can expect that number to drop significantly.
Great. Thank you. Kids, where are you from?
We're from Riverdale Grade.
Excellent. Welcome to Portland City Hall. Are you having a good time?
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, my name is Ben Jacklin. I'm a little nervous with the new audience now. Forgive me.
An audience.
I'm with YimbyHomes.com, and I would like to encourage the council to extend Portland's bold ADU waiver program. This program is vital to the development of Portland's promising and diverse ADU ecosystem, and it is an integral component of the YIMBY mission to deliver backyard homes that are beautiful, sustainable, and affordable. ADUs represent a creative solution to the housing crisis. We applaud the City of Portland for taking the national lead on enabling and encouraging people to build them. Well-designed ADUs can lower carbon footprints and create livelier denser neighborhoods without demolition and disruption. The omission of short-term rentals from the fee waiver makes perfect sense to me. I applaud the city for standing firm with its housing objectives. The fee waiver represents a major investment in the housing future of Portland, and it makes sense to invest judiciously.
Okay, thank you.
I believe strongly that this investment will pay off for Portlanders in many ways, including job creation. Thank you for the opportunity to share our support of this resolution.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. We appreciate your testimony. Carla, how many more do we have?
These are the last two who signed up. John Baer and Tom Karwacki.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Would you like to start, please?
Sure. My name is Tom Karwacki, University Park Neighborhood Association Land Use Chair. We put this on our website and social media. I think the comments came back from people. 40 comments in less than 24 hours is pretty good dealing with issues on this nature. One, they've requested to keep the record open so that you can actually get some input from people who aren't developers or architects involved with this process. The main issue and concern that people had, and I do too personally, is the clawback workability. So how are you going to actually claw back the $19,000 or whatever the SDC waiver is if someone has to, because of a recession or something else, go out and put it on Airbnb for a certain period of time? There's some 10 years might be too long. The average mortgage is 7 years. So therefore, you're looking at inter-ownership issues, and that would also have major impacts on the appraisal value of any house, and I think it would have a significant impact. You can test that. Third, the city has the opportunity to survey the actual owners. Instead of just making a decision here, you can actually go out and address. You know, this is not a huge population. You can actually send an email or text or a letter and actually survey the people. How important is an Airbnb opportunity to have been an influence on yours? We don't have to just rely on some other studies on that. But the main thing was to keep the record open. I've looked at 25 ADUs within University Park and Portsmouth. Two are with family members. Most of them are Airbnb. The concern has been that people can age in place. The answer is they can't if they're not designed for ADA capability. We had four people at our last meeting come up to me in wheelchairs or in full chairs, and they were talking about ADAs and Airbnbs and the ADUs, and that there are almost none that they could find that were accessible. I've only been in one in North Portland that was accessible. So the whole concern about aging in place is a serious concern, and I think that I would like to see us how we can incentivize these kind of universal design or something like that, whereby we're actually getting some and reaching out to the real people who could be using this in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner Udaly.
Thomas, I do have some good news for you on the ADA front, which is with the coming RIP. Currently, if a homeowner wants to develop two ADUs, one of them will require basic visitability. That means the entrance is accessible, the bathroom is accessible, and there's an area to socialize. I agree, that's a concern of mine, but I would encourage anyone building ADUs who sees it as a strategy to age in place to take that into consideration, because we almost all do eventually experience some kind of mobility challenges.
But how can you incentivize? You're at that point that I think that you might want to look at how you can do that.
Well, the incentive is you don't get to build it unless you meet the visitability requirements. Mm-hmm. And just to be clear about short-term rentals, The covenant doesn't preclude anyone from building a short an ADU for the purpose of a short-term rental.
Oh,
it simply doesn't waive the SDC charges, because we should not be subsidizing someone's commercial enterprise. If we're going to give a $15,000 subsidy to what is essentially an unattended hotel room, why wouldn't we give $15,000 subsidy to a bookstore or a coffee shop? So and I heard a couple scenarios which are interesting challenges that I feel like they're worth discussing, and I think that we can get a little more nuanced about that policy. But also, you can, if you amortize that cost of this SDCs over a period of years, increase your short-term rental rate a few dollars, you'll recoup your SDCs. So we need people to build real housing, not mm-hmm. short-term rentals.
Thomas, can I offer just another observation? We used to provide a bonus for developers that included a green roof.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is mandated, and it has become fairly ubiquitous anyway. The market caught up. People understood the benefits of a green roof. Now it's mandated. Between now and 2050, the number of people 65 and older is going to double to 1.5 billion globally. And we're going to have, we hope, if the city continues to be an age-friendly destination, we hope that we are a place that older adults choose to live in and are drawn to. And so my guess is that over time, the idea of universal design will go from being, you know, sort of something we talk about on the margins or, you know, some adaptations, to being something that the market demands. And I suspect in due course, our code will have as a mandate a much higher standard of accessibility. I think it's inevitable.
Very good. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is John Baer. And more than 10 years ago, I bought and resided in a house close to the university here. It's amazing that I'm following this gentleman, because I have the same concerns. My age is 66. My income is low enough that I qualify for the property tax, not deferral program, but the state pays my property tax. And upon my demise, there's a bill owing to the Department of Revenue. The only way I can see to afford to live in my house in the future, now that I'm alone in it, is to do a service of short-term rentals to students, which technically aren't short-term rentals at all. They assist the community. My intention is to develop my walkout basement in an accessible manner, because at 66, I can't depend on using my own 2 feet for the next 10 years, and using my upstairs to provide an income for me as well as housing for students and relieve the load on transportation and other infrastructure. I think I'm very deserving of a waiver of the transportation systems development charge, at least. So what I'm sensitive to is the transition rules that aren't in place in this document. I'm qualifying under the old rules because I'm filing in the next few months. However, I have a firm deadline of 11 months after July 31st to complete. No provision do I see here for being able to qualify under the new rules, having language put on my deed. And I also, the way I read the old rules, I would have to pay the system development charges if I don't get the certificate of occupancy by June 30 next year. So I submitted to council an email to the clerk the following language: in acknowledgement of the need to transition SDC waiver rules from the existing firm dates to new dates meant to extend the waiver program, this paragraph is proposed to remove ambiguity for many homeowners who have begun their ADU redevelopment on their properties under the former rules. Quote, be it further resolved that council directs all affected bureaus to amend the current waiver of SDCs for new ADUs or the conversion of structures to ADU units to explicitly rescind the June 30, 2019 date for receiving final inspection and certificate of occupancy for those ADU permits submitted by July 31st, 2018. Respectfully, John Baer, please consider that, adding that to the bottom of this. So we're not in limbo, and we'll be caught unawares, either owing a lot of money or seeking a favor from the council next year. If I get injured on the job and I'm doing the rough construction in my own basement, I may, through no fault of my own, be unable to complete. The only trades I'm sending out are electrical and plumbing, because I don't feel I have those skills, and perhaps some finished carpentry. But everything else is, you know, on my dime, pay as you go. So thank you. That's all I have to ask.
Did you say you emailed that request to us?
Yes. During the meeting, I was writing it back here.
Oh, so we've got it in our boxes right now?
What?
We have it in our inboxes right now?
Yes, you do.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Colleagues, Commissioner Fritz.
Yeah, I really appreciate the discussion and the expert testimony, as well as the community partnerships. It seems to me, let me just state, ADUs are a good thing. They have many, many benefits for the property owner, for the renter, for the family member, for the kinds of people that we just heard. So the question is, how can we make this policy work for everybody, or for more aspects? So I'm just wondering, and second of all, I really appreciate, Commissioner Udaly, your establishment of this division of the Revenue and Financial Services Division to administer the covenants and to set up a fee structure and registration, so that actually can be perhaps a model for our what we need to do for other short-term rentals. I'm really excited about that. And when I read that, I started thinking of, well, this could be the way to get to affordability. That, you know, I read in Professor Liberty's documents that some of the ADU rents go up to $1,200. That's quite a lot of money. And so potentially, although I heard the caution from Eli Spivak to not have kind of rent-controlled units, is there a potential to have a maximum monthly rent? So that's one thing. We got an email from someone else who pointed out that sometimes people they start off doing the short-term rental in order to pay off their construction loans with the intent of either themselves or a family member moving in later. So I am concerned about how does this affect the affordability. There is the accessibility thing that Thomas Kowalki brought up, and that if we're going to be giving this benefit on an ongoing basis, could we do what Commissioner Fish just said and make it a standard that you have to do it a certain way? And then finally, this is another example of, yes, this is a great policy that benefits housing, that benefits many other issues that the council is working on, and that is detrimental to parks and to transportation. And we know, we get told time and time again in the budgets that parks and transportation have to find new revenue to pay their way, and that we people are concerned about lack of parks in underserved areas, about unpaved streets, and the other things that system development charge in transportation pay for. So I'm wondering, when the bureaus come back with their revised ordinances, whether that could be part of that, that perhaps parks, transportation in particular, should be during the budget process reporting on this is the amount of SDC waivers and putting in a request for that as part of the budget. So it's very clear which bureaus are subsidizing which other needs and how much the council is willing to backfill to meet those needs. Because, you know, I just know about parks, and we have over $300 million worth of improvements that are needed to provide an equitable system. So although $8 million a year is, in the grand scheme of that, not much, $8 million can buy a couple of really nice parks. $8 million can pay for a lot of things that then the general fund is not asked to subsidize. Because eventually, or the property tax payers are not asked to subsidize, so that it reduces the amount that we're going to have to go after in a construction bond, which Parks is going to have to do at some time in the near future. So I think there is a way to do this that meets all of those many more needs. And so I'm just wondering, obviously we're not voting on this week. It's a non-emergency ordinance.
It's a resolution.
It's a resolution. Well, I'm wondering if there's a if there might be merit in doing a short-term extension of the current waiver and looking into some of these other possibilities, considering this after this is passed, will become a permanent thing that might not get to the top of the list of a future commissioner in charge.
Commissioner, can I make a comment to that? So the point that you just made about having transparency about foregone revenue and how it impacts the budgets of various bureaus, to the extent that that data is not part of the budget process, I would wholeheartedly support having that be daylit and part of the discussion. And I think that the council should have the opportunity to decide whether there's a general fund backfill for any foregone revenue where the burdens are spread broadly over infrastructure bureaus, for example, and it has a consequence. And by the way, you know, it could be backfilled with additional capital dollars. I know it's not doesn't have to be the same color of money, but at least it gives the commissioner in charge a platform to argue for some adjustment. So just speaking for myself, I think that is a positive thing. The way I read this resolution is that there's a directive to come back to council by the end of July with code language. It would seem to me that between now and then we can have a continuing conversation about that issue and about whether we want to have a sunset or any number of things, that adopting this resolution in no way precludes us having the conversation on those or other issues that my colleagues may have.
I guess
Commissioner Saltzman.
Yeah, I was impressed with the very thoughtful testimony as well as the council discussion on this. So there's a couple things that I'm concerned about, or not, maybe not concerned, but I'd like to see us look at in more detail. And maybe that is in the ordinance, but I'm intrigued by the idea of making universal design sort of more of an incentive that perhaps we, you know, grant X percent of a waiver and, you know, increase that X by more if it's a universal design ADU. I think that is an incentive that makes a lot of sense. So I'd like to see us explore that. I don't know if I need to offer an amendment now or whether we can deal with that in July. And then the issue that Mr. Baer just raised about some of the transition, I think we need to make sure that we are
what?
Clear. The transition from the old waiver to a new waiver. I just think we need to make sure people like Mr. Baer, who have some legitimate concerns and need sort of a planning horizon, that we provide that planning horizon. So those are, I guess, you have two thoughts I have.
So as far as universal design, which I'm definitely an enthusiastic advocate for, I don't know that this is the best tool to address it through. I think that maybe, well, it's definitely something that we could get to in the RIP. Sorry, I've lost track. There's so many questions right now. As to people who are in process now, yes, I'm open to that. We're seeing a slowdown right now just because people know that this waiver is going to end and there's not really enough time to begin a development process. That's why we're bringing it now, because we want people to keep going rather than come to complete stop and restart. Trying to hit all the... I was a little confused by the last testimony about student housing. I don't believe that would be considered a short-term rental. We're really talking about people who are advertising their units on short-term rental platforms as vacation homes. But that's something that we should look at a little more closely. How do we define short-term rental? I know, you know, the current rules for offering a short-term rental is the residence needs to be owner-occupied for 9 months out of the year, which happens to coincide with the length of a school year. So I don't think providing student housing would be precluded under this covenant.
I want to just caution my colleagues on something. We currently have a waiver that has no conditions. We have a sunset of that waiver, and Commissioner Udaly is proposing an extension of that waiver subject to more restrictive requirements. So, I mean, we are free to put all kinds of new conditions on this, but we also may end up creating a situation where it's no longer a viable option. The heart of this is directing that bureaus come back with language that would allow the continuation of the waiver subject to the limitation set forth in the be it further resolve. So the public benefit has now been more sharply identified in this resolution. It seems to me the council can decide at any time to further sharpen the public benefit, narrow the scope of this. I would caution us not to do that today, because the ultimate goal in this, the question before us from my point of view, is do we want to extend this waiver or not? This actually limits the extension of the waiver to a much more specific case. Council may or may not agree with that. But I think if we start putting other conditions on, we're getting ahead of what I think should be the process. If we think universal design should be put in, I think we should evaluate it, and we should decide whether this is the right vehicle, RIF, or some other proposal.
Commissioner Fritz.
The challenge, though, this I'm wondering just of the logistics about this, is the intent that there will be a model amendment under the be it further resolved, there's 4-5 bureaus that are required to put something in about the covenant.
Restrictive covenant.
Will it be your intent to provide model language for that from Development Services?
Yes.
And where would we then get to the discussion of requiring universal accessibility? Because visitability, except in the second ADO. Is that correct in the residential infill project?
I honestly don't think that's something that we're really prepared to figure out today. I'd like to call a vote if that's possible.
It seems to me the council can direct planning and the Bureau of Development Services at any time to come forth with options for expanding universal design. And we can look at it as carrots and sticks or something in between. To graft it onto this, which is essentially an extension of the sunset, without knowing the impact of that decision on cost and on whether someone would take advantage of this program, I personally think is a mistake.
All right. So I think we've all heard the ins and outs and the nuances. I'm going to call the question. Please call the roll, Carla.
Fish?
Very good discussion from my point of view, and the issues that have been raised about the impact, particularly on infrastructure bureaus and ratepayer bureaus, is real and important. This notion of foregone revenue is not my favorite way of getting at council priorities, but it is one of our tools. I agree that it needs to have a clear public benefit, and I agree that it has to be carefully monitored. The substitute resolution has some things that I really like, which includes something that Todd Lofgren in my office discussed with Commissioner Udaly's office about collecting data annually about rents charged at ADUs that receive the waivers so we can continue to monitor this program. This requires bureaus to come forward by the end of July with some code language. It then gives us a second opportunity to discuss further refinements. And there's a number of things which have been raised in this hearing that I would like to see us discuss, either in the context of this or separately, particularly around universal design and how we can accelerate the movement towards having more accessible units, either through mandates or through incentives. Thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for bringing this forward. And I appreciate that a number of people have said to us today that Portland has a chance to be a leader in the area of accessory dwelling units. And that is, I think, very important for a number of reasons, not the least of which is it is another way of addressing our significant shortage of affordable homes. So thank you. I vote aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I do, I will support this, but I do want to express the sentiment I just expressed a few minutes ago, is that I intend to develop language for the ordinance in July that will accord some priority to units that have universal design. I mean, advocates for universal design are always on the outside knocking to get in. And we do little bits here and there, like the residential infill project. If you build a second ADU, it's got to have visibility. You know, that's not enough. We all benefit from universal design. We all will. And those who are challenged right now will benefit from having another living option that they can take advantage of. So I will provide some language in July that will provide some incentive. I can't articulate it exactly right now, but I think it would be, you know, maybe you only get 90% of the waiver, 80% of the waiver if you build a standard ADU. If you build universal design, you get 100% waiver. But I think we have to start putting some teeth to our talk And this is one way I commit to do exactly that. And I will be coming forward with an amendment. I'll be discussing it with all of you in July. But, you know, it's no longer sufficient for people with disabilities or people who want to age in place to sort of always be on the outside of the issue, knocking on the door to get on the inside. Let's put them on the inside to start with. And then I do have, and I intend to support this because I do think ADUs are a positive contribution with the conditions of this resolution for more affordable housing options. But I will say that I do have concerns in general about making something permanent, anything permanent. So I do think it's incumbent upon us, to future councils, to really scrutinize this very closely, both for its impact on our infrastructure bureaus, but also just to make sure that we are, this is still the, you know, part of the part and parcel of the goal of solving our affordable housing crisis. If it somehow changes on us in the midstream, then we need to be able to, you know, claw back that benefit. Aye.
Udaley.
Well, thank you, everyone who came today and gave testimony, and thank you to my colleagues for a lively conversation. It really feels like we don't get to do this often enough. I certainly appreciate everyone's passion around universal design. As many of you know, my son uses a wheelchair, and I have faced a lot of challenges in finding safe, affordable, accessible housing. So it's of great interest to me. I just want to make sure we take the time to get it right and that we put it where it should live, and I'm not convinced that it should live with this waiver. I want to specifically thank Matt Wickstrom and Kimberly Talent, Rebecca Esau, and the whole BDS team for developing this policy. Thank you to Treasurer Cooperman, Director Lanham, and the Revenue Bureau team for helping develop an enforcement mechanism and for being willing and able to administer it. Thank you to Robert Liberty, Beth Glidden, and the ISS team for convening a dream team of stakeholders that's helped shape this policy and our region's approach to ADUs. And thank you to Eli Spivak and others who were here today to give testimony, expert testimony on ADU development. Thank you, Todd Lofgren from Commissioner Fish's staff, who came up with a brilliant idea of collecting rental data from properties that receive waivers. It's cute how excited staff get when they get a shout out in council chambers. So you're welcome, Todd. and thank you to staff from Parks, PBOT, Water, and BES. Who have to do the work that this resolution directs. I'm excited to get to work on the next steps. Aye.
Sorry, Mayor. We have a clarification we need. We moved and seconded the substitute.
Correct.
But we didn't vote on the accepting the substitute. And I think this vote is for a final. You're taking that?
That's correct. We need to vote on taking the substitute. So let's do this. Go backwards. Don't vote yet, Chloe, Commissioner Udaley. Go backwards and vote on the substitute amendment to accept it.
Right. Sorry.
And we'll just take the roll call.
Okay. Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaley.
Aye.
Fritz.
Very enthusiastically support the amendment. Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. Thank you. The substitute's on the table. We're back to the main motion. Commissioner Udaley, continue.
I believe I voted aye.
Ah, very good.
And moving right along.
Okay, we need to do
and so
fish.
Now we're on the main motion. Right. The substitute motion is amended.
Yeah, fish.
No, I've already cast my vote. I thought we were going back to where we started.
I interrupted the vote on the
Carla,
main
do you
motion.
Want to do the whole vote over again?
We don't want the speeches over again.
Oh, but I have a new one already.
Legal counsel, I believe I have the ability to suspend the vote midway through, so that
yes.
Was the vote on the main motion and the commentary on the main motion, so now we will continue the votes that have not been cast on the substitute motion, correct?
Hearing no objection.
I want to make sure legal counsel doesn't object.
Hearing no objection.
That's the only objection I care about.
Mayor, I think because the substitution wasn't before the council, it might be good to just hear the votes of each council member. I don't think
very
they
good.
Need
to
so reiterate
their
comments.
We'll start the main motion again, but we don't need to hear the speeches twice that have already been given.
Fish.
So I was at a press conference the other day, and I gave a great speech, and a reporter came at the very end and said, I'm sorry I missed it. Could I hear your speech again? So she put a phone in front of me, and I gave the same speech from memory. So, but I won't bore you with this time. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Thanks again, everybody. Aye.
Fritz?
It's the longest I've ever had to wait between Commissioner Udaly's vote and mine. I appreciate the discussion. I do appreciate the amendment. I'm in the same place that Commissioner Saltzman is, and will be, if I'm fortunate enough to be in charge of any of the infrastructure bureaus, I'd love to partner with you on bringing something back in July. I'm concerned about the time frame in July that we would have to make the decision July 1st. I'm not quite sure when the council hearings go. I'm always in... I don't like being put in the situation where I have to vote for something as an emergency ordinance, even if I don't like it. So that makes me very nervous to not know exactly how that's going to weigh in. And so I think we could be missing a big opportunity to provide this incentive, to provide this benefit, and then missing out on other things like accessibility and affordability. And I'm very concerned that there wasn't much public process outside of those who are most concerned with this proposal to get input from those who have done it in the past and the neighbours in general. So regretfully, I vote no.
Wheeler.
I want to thank everybody for the hard work on this. I thought it was a fantastic conversation. It was detailed. I think we heard a lot of different perspectives, and I appreciate that, and I respect that, and I'm proud to be part of a body where we can actually have that kind of a conversation. I'm intrigued by the idea that Commissioner Saltzman has raised. I, too, think that's ambitious between now and July, but it can be done, and I would certainly be interested in keeping abreast of that because I do think the universal design concept is a really, really solid one, and I'd like to see us ultimately move in that direction. But as for the matter that's before us today, thank you, Commissioner Udaly, to you and your team for your hard work, to the bureaus that were involved. I vote aye. The resolution, the substitute resolution, is adopted. Thank you. Next item.